أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullah wa azzamallah ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bil Husayn wa awlad al Husayn wa ashab al Husayn. One of the forbidden transactions is to buy or sell any tools of gambling. I think we mentioned something about gambling. I want to mention another example of it that is quite common in these countries, and that is, I don't know whether you, not that you buy it, whether they buy it from the news agencies or not, like what I know from Australia, that they usually buy the lotto cards from the news agencies. Wherever you buy it from, buying the lotto and filling up the boxes and paying for them and betting definitely is one of the examples of gambling, and it is forbidden. Because those people who do that, they are just putting some money with the hope that once the ball goes and like their names comes up, or depending on how much they have, how many cards they have bought, they want to become a millionaire over the night or whatever money that they make. This is forbidden. And the sense behind it is very obvious, because they are gambling with the money that they collect from certain people, and until just, if there is such things, I have no idea about what is behind the scene. But let's say that they cast a lot and name of some people come and they win the rest of the money of other people. In Islam, this type of transactions are not permissible, because Islam wants everybody to earn from their own work, not from the money of other people. Similar to that, and sometimes unfortunately because it's cheaper and apparently more people can afford it, it's what they call it, the scratches. I don't know whether you have scratches here also as well or not, but because that one is cheaper. But remember that lotto or scratches, the concept is the same, and both of them are examples of betting and gambling, and therefore forbidden. There is one exception, if we can call it an exception, that I need to clarify. That is that sometimes certain places, even you may see that nowadays some Islamic centers, they do that for fundraising. Like somebody brings like a frame, an Islamic frame or something very valuable. I know examples of even brand new car. Somebody gave a brand new car as a gift to an Islamic center, like where I was. And people were buying tickets, were selling tickets for anyone who wants to donate to this Islamic cause. So the intention of those who are buying the tickets is that I'm just giving $10, $5, $20, as much as I want. I'm just giving a donation for that Islamic cause, for that humanitarian cause. All right, and I may or may not win that gift. My intention is not that I'm betting. That is very important. If that's the case, that I'm buying certain number of tickets with certain amount of money as a donation to that Islamic cause without any expectation in return, that's fine. Even after that, somebody says that because of good and that benevolent act that you had done, I like to cast a lot, and anyone's name comes up, I want this car to be gifted to him. Or I want this, whatever it is, gifted to him. I've been in such fundraising dinners myself for our organization in Sydney. And more than once, can you imagine that someone won a car? Some people, they won a brand new car. And to prove that really they were not after that car, someone who even didn't have a car would like to have that car for himself. But as soon as his name was announced that now you are the owner of this car, here is the key, he gifted it back again to the Islamic, to that fundraising dinner. And that car for the second time, or maybe perhaps if I'm not wrong, for the third time, that car again went for auction. So this is not lotto. This is not gambling and things like that, because people really have no intention of betting for that. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In continuation of the discussions, as why is it that I have chosen the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam, and I can never thank God enough for this blessing, for this abundant blessing that the Almighty God has bestowed upon me to be among those who got to know Ahlul Bayt, the holy pure progeny of the Prophet, and inshallah endeavor, try my very best to follow them. One of the aspects of the personality of their lives that inshallah briefly, as my time would allow me tonight, I'd like to share with you, you will admire it. It is a great personality of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, distinguished personality of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that makes them very much outstanding in comparison to the rest of the companions of the Prophet, with all respect to them, that not only Muslims, even non-Muslims, any human hears about that, admire it, and leaves them with no doubt that truly such role models are the best to be followed because of the moral characters that they enjoyed. The topic for tonight is about their ithar and their sacrifice for the sake of Islam, sincerely for the sake of God, without any expectation in return at all. Ithar, literally, it means when we prefer something or someone. Quran is using this terminology in a literal sense of it in the story of Prophet Yusuf. That the brothers of Yusuf, once they saw that he became a prophet, they said, Tallahi lagad atharaka Allahu alayna. Atharaka is from that root of ithar, sacrifice. By Allah, God definitely has preferred you over us. God has chosen you over us. All right. But in the moral sense of it, ithar means that if I need something and you need something, the same thing as well, and I sacrifice myself over you, or I prefer you over myself. Let me explain it a little further so that the topic is inshallah clarified properly. When it comes to things that some people are gifted with, or I am gifted with, and mind you that we are all gifted, various gifts, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted different people with different things. But we may have four different attitudes towards that. One, the first attitude is that I see someone enjoys, like for example, having a good voice, or very knowledgeable, or the look, or anything that is impressive to me, wealth, you name it, all right? The first attitude is that I wish that I had that one as well. I love to get a tag along with that as well. Like this is an inspiration for me. That's what we call it, covet. Al-ghibta, huh? I don't wish you to lose your money, but I wish I would also be a successful businessman like you. This is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. The second has some negative connotation in it. That's what we call it in Islamic terminology, al-hasad, envy. Like I see my friend that is doing good in his or her exam, and I say that I wish something happens to him that tomorrow he can't turn up for the exam, he fails. Or always something happens to him in his business that he fails. This is the very destructive. This is evil. This is not good. All right. The third is that in terms of the gift that God, for example, has given me, I become very stingy, like this al-bukhl, very mean and stingy. I like to stick to myself and keep it to myself. I don't want to share it with anyone. The wealth that I have, the health that I have, the youth that I have, the knowledge that I have, whatever that God has given me, it's me, myself, and I. There's a triangle of selfishness called me, myself, and I. All right? The culture of liberalism is promoting that. They are always telling you, what about yourself? What about yourself? You have to look after yourself. You have to look after yourself. It's all about yourself. Today we learn, tonight we learn that, inshallah, one of the very sublime moral characters is to be selfless, not selfish. To be selfish is not a good character socially. To be selfless, to sacrifice for others, is something that humanity admires. This is what is called al-ithar. All right. After the being mean and stingy, the next one is that you also like to share what you have, the gift that God has given you. You like to share it with others. Never feel that my money is going to be less. You know why in Islam, giving money for the sake of God is called zakat? Because zakat literally means growth. Unlike what we think, that if I have like $100, $100, and I give $10 for the sake of God, $20 for the sake of God, then my money becomes less. Quran says that on the contrary, your money grows. Zakah yasku literally is when you are trimming a tree. You go to your backyard and you are trimming the tree. True that some branches and leaves, you know, are getting cut, but you let the tree grow better, isn't it? This is the concept of zakat in Islam. Quran says by giving something for the sake of God, don't think that you are losing. On a long run, you will win more, because what you have given is a guarantee for the rest of your money not to be lost, for the rest of your business to flourish, to work better, and things like that. Now, when it comes to sharing with others, there are different levels of sharing my gift with others, whether the gift of knowledge, whether the gift of wealth, or any gift that the Almighty God has given to me. For the sake of discussion, to make it easier understood, let's say what we're talking about money, sharing my wealth with people who are a little bit deprived. The very lowest level of it is what in Islam is called al-infaq. Al-infaq is like donation, giving a charity. Quran, right in the beginning, the second page of the Quran is praising pious people, that whatever that they earn, they don't say, it's only me, it was from the sweat of my forehead, why should I give it to others? Tough luck, you go and work for yourself. No, وَمَمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. From what we have given them, they share it with others. The point here is that Quran says وَمَمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ. This men in Arabic is لَتَبْعِيد. That means a portion of what we have given them, they give it as donation, as charity. Like, for example, makes, I don't know how much, 5,000, 10,000 a month, and gives a portion of it, 2%, 3%, that really does not jeopardize his financial status. Still, he gives a donation. He cares for others and gives a donation. Yet, this is good. This is called al-infaq, that part of your wealth, you share it with others. Part of the gift that God has given you, you share it with others. You are not selfish. You are still accepted as a person who is not selfish. However, infaq is after we are asked. There is a fundraising dinner to build a mosque, and there is a project. They approach us and they say that, can you afford to give any donation? I said, all right, that's how much I can give, and I give. Or a poor person comes to me begging, and I say, all right, that's how much I can help, and I help. This is virtue, it's good, but it's after mas'ala, after somebody had asked about it. A little bit higher than that is what in Islam, after infaq, we call it al-muwasat. Or before that is as-sakha. As-sakha is generosity. The difference between generosity and donation is that donation was after I was asked from a little portion of what I have given, whereas generosity is initially. you know that I'm financially low at the moment. You know that your friend financially is not doing well, but he's too decent, too shy to come and ask for help. You go and give him something. As much as he tries to avoid it and say, no, I'm fine. Don't worry, this is just keep it there. Don't worry. And you make sure that you give it to him in a very respectful way. This is called generosity. So the difference between enfaq and as-sakha is that enfaq is after I was asked, whereas generosity is that you initiate it yourself. You don't wait for him to ask. Enfaq, you give to what he needs or even less than his needs. That's how much I can afford it. Whether you can pay your debt or not, sorry, that's how much I can afford. Whereas generosity, you give him a bit even more than perhaps what he needs. All right? You see the differences. Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salam, in that sense of generosity, they were very generous. They were kurama anytime anyone was coming to them, asking them for help. Imam Ali, alayhi salam, for example, once he had 4 dirham. He gave 1 dirham nighttime, 1 dirham daytime, 1 dirham publicly, 1 dirham secretly. Why publicly? To encourage others. Why secretly? To practice it privately, more rewarding. Upon that, an ayah towards the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, the 2nd chapter, was revealed to the Prophet, praising what Imam Ali alayhi salam had done. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Those who give for the sake of God, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. Note, before about enfaq, I said that Quran says مَمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. From a portion of what they have, like 2% they give, 3%, 10% they give. They don't give all what they have. Here Quran says الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ those who are يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ, not يُنْفِقُونَ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, not that part of their wealth they give it. All what they have, they gave it. This is generosity. He had 4 dirhams and he gave it all in different occasions for the sake of God. Okay? That Quran says that they give some of it nighttime, daytime, secretly or publicly. It's just about Imam alayhi salam. Generosity, brothers and sisters, definitely is a virtue in Islam. And morally, socially is a virtue. We all admire people who are generous. You go out with your friend, the one who always puts her hand or his hand into pocket, inviting others, you admire that person, that is Kareem, you know, he's generous more. The Prophet says that generosity has a root in paradise, is a tree, as-sakhau shajaratun fil jannah, has a tree in paradise. And the branches of that tree has come down to this dunya. Those who are hanging or getting hold of the branches of generosity will take them to paradise. And if you want to be like enjoying your life in paradise, try to be generous in this dunya. Don't be stingy. Likewise, al-bukhlu shajaratun finnar. Stinginess also is a tree in hell. Those who are hanging or holding into the stinginess, it's going to lead them into hellfire. Generosity is such a virtue that even if somebody is generous, yet he is not a Muslim, it's going to help him in the hereafter. An example of that is someone whose name has become like a proverb in the Arabic literature, in Farsi literature. His name is Hatim Ta'i. بَأَبِهِ اقْتَدَى عَدِيٌّ فِي الْكَرَمْ وَمَنْ يُشَابِهْ أَبَهُ فَمَا ظَلَمْ. It means about his son, the son of Hatim Ta'i. He was a very generous person, well known. He was living before the advent of Islam, so he did not die as a Muslim. Yet the Prophet said to his son Adi that because your dad was very generous, the Almighty God took away the chastisement of hell from him because of his generosity. All right? So generosity definitely is a virtue. And we find, inshallah, tonight I'll give you examples about not only generosity of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, more than that. So we started with the lowest level, that was enfaq, donation. We went higher to being generous. Higher than that is what is called al-muwasat or al-muqasama. That means you have it, what you have. Like if I may give the example, imagine you've got a sandwich for your lunch. Sometimes you eat the sandwich all by yourself and your friend is looking at you, starving. That's cruel, man. All right, but I'm hungry. What can I do? Tough luck, you could have brought a sandwich with you. This is stinginess. The second example is that she just gives a poor, like a bite to her friend. You know, just have a bite. That's fine. At least let him have a taste of it. This is called enfaq. A bit further than that, until it comes into just halving the sandwich into two pieces. I'm not going to be fooled. You're not going to be fooled. But half a loaf is better than no bread. Al-muqasama, it means to have what you have with others. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim, now I'm talking about a sandwich, you compare it with someone who just divided his absolute, his entire wealth, his entire estate, he divided it into two, half for the poor and needy people, half for me. Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, time and again in his life, they have mentioned several times in his life, he used to work hard, make money, reach a certain amount, have it. Half goes to the poor and needy people for all the good projects, and half he starts with the second half, continuing his business. Imam Ali alayhi salam used to work so hard in the farm, digging a well. As soon as water is gushing out, Ya Ghambar, bring pen and paper, write it down. This is I gave it as a donation for that poor family. Gave it as a donation for that cause and that for. They have mentioned in his lifetime, Imam Ali alayhi salam had made in with his own hand, had dug over 1,000 well. And well in Arabian Peninsula, in the middle of a desert, you know, it's like an oil, like really like a black gold, very valuable. All for the sake of God. So much so that someone turns and says, Ya Ali, how much you give to others? What about you, your family? What about your children? You've got sons. Why don't you invest for them? Imam Ali alayhi salam says, how would I know if they are accepted? Subhanallah, he says, only if I knew one of them is accepted, I would stop. But I have to do it all as much as I can until inshallah one of them is accepted. All right. So muqasama, it means that have our wealth with others. Higher than that, this is the realm of Ahlul Bayt. It's not that easy to get to that area. Is what in Islam and in the moral values issues is called al-ithar, to sacrifice for others. There is an ayah in Surah Al-Hash, inshallah I recite it, and inshallah you recite with me to bless your mouth, and not, I tell you the background of the ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلُوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةِ وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The Almighty God says that they prefer they. Who are they? We'll come to that. They prefer others over themselves, even though they are in need of it. They prefer others over themselves. وَيُؤْثَرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلُوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. Even though they needed it, they preferred someone else. In like the example of sandwich that we mentioned, imagine you give your sandwich to a friend who is also hungry, you are hungry too. Although you are hungry, you say that I prefer my friend eat it. Better you be full than satisfied. You have all of it. She says, no. It's no, you have all of it. I'm fine. I'm all right. I can manage without it. This is called al-ithar. Then Quran says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ. Shuh is worse than bukhl. Bukhl means that I don't want to donate. I don't want to give this, you know, money from my pocket. I don't want to give it. Shuh, and the person who has this evil character is called shahih, is the one who says that, not only I can't see that my money goes to this cause, I don't want anyone else to give him. Yani la hawla wa la quwwata illa. Sometimes somebody doesn't donate for the mosque project. Sometimes worse than these people are those that you want to donate. La hawla, leave it. Habibi, okay, you don't donate. Let somebody else that wishes to donate and get the reward, encourage them. No, they discourage them. They go to them and they discourage them. This is worse than a stinginess.
That person is called Shahih. Quran says, وَمَنْ يُوْغَ شُحَّ نَفْسَهِ, the one who really safeguard his soul against this extreme stinginess, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, they are the one who are prosperous. لَا إِلْغُولُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُ, say لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, you'll be prosperous. A Muslim, all his or her endeavor in this life of dunya is, what can I do to become مفلح, to become prosperous and successful. And successful and prosperous people are those who enjoy their eternal abode in paradise. So Quran says that such people, they so generously they give, even though they need it themselves, they will be prosperous. And I want to follow the prosperous people. Allama Amini Rahmatullah Alayhi has quoted from 34 different Sunni scholars in his book Al-Ghadir. Quoting from their books, all have said that this ayah is revealed regarding the following story that I mentioned to you with Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Once upon a time, Hassan and Hussein, the two sons of Fatima al-Zahra, Amir al-Mumineen, they got sick, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, alayhim as-salam. The Prophet came and visited them, and the Prophet suggested that, Ya Ali, my suggestion is that you make a vow, nadhr, for 3 days to fast, should God recover your sons. All right. Imam Hassan, Imam Ali alayhi salam made the vow. Fatima al-Zahra made the vow. Riwayat says that even their maid, Fidda, she also made the vow. Some Riwayat said even Hassan and Hussein, although they were young and sick, they made the vow as well, that should God, you know, heals us, inshallah, we are going to fast for 3 days, three consecutive days. By the grace of God, the two boys were recovered and healed. Now it's the time to fulfill the nazar. The first day, and mind you that in those days, Muslims were in severe poverty. Financially, the Muslim community were not doing well, especially leaders like Imam Ali, the Prophet. The first day, they made the intention to fast. In the evening that Fatima al-Zahra, she had made loaves of bread, made of barley. In those days, barley bread was cheaper, unlike now that's more expensive. Perhaps those days was cheaper. So she had made some loaves of bread just as their iftar to break their fast with. Just before Adhan turned, subhanallah, وَيُطْعَمُونَ عَلَى الطَّعَامِ, what do you call it? A poor person comes. A poor person comes and he's knocking on the door and he's asking for, what do you call it? I mixed it up with another story actually. You have to say salawat and I correct myself. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This is regarding another ayah. I will mention, now that I said it, I will mention that ayah inshallah. I didn't have in mind to mention, but I'll mention. Let me just give you the reference for this ayah. Inshallah, remind me to mention this story of the vow that we admit. The story of this ayah is the following, that one night Imam Ali alayhi salam was in the mosque praying, and after the Maghrib Isha prayer, a poor person stands up, says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm poor and I'm a traveler, I'm new in this town, I don't have anywhere to sleep and I don't have any food to eat and I don't have any money to buy any food. Is there anyone in the crowd who can look after me tonight? Any hospitable person? The Prophet turns and says that anyone can, you know, host this brother tonight. Immediately Imam Ali salam says, Ya Rasulullah, he is my guest. Let's go home, brother. You will be my guest. Without even checking with his wife. For us, we normally have to check whether we get the consent or approval or not. Otherwise, she's going to give, you know, whinge and say that, why did you do that? Why did you bring him? We don't have anything. I don't have time. But because Imam Ali and Fatima Zahra were so compatible, he knows the mentality of his wife, he knows that he doesn't need her consent. Takes the guest home, goes to the kitchen. Fatima, we've got a guest. Is there any food? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Ya Ali, again, you brought someone home. You know what's the situation? We just had a piece of loaf, a little bit of food. It's only enough for us. They put their heads together. They said that, you know what? We give the portion of the kids. They have to eat it. That one, we cannot touch it. Put the kids into bed. Give them the dinner and put them to bed. And what about our portion? And this guy, this big guy that I can see, he is very hungry. They say that we we serve the food, all of it, we put it in front of him. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that I turn off the light so that he cannot see, but there was nothing in Imam Ali's plate, nothing in Fatima Zahra's plate. All the food was on the plate of the guest. They sat around the tablecloth and started eating in dark.
Yummy in the tummy.
And the guy, because he was so starving, didn't care whether there is any food for them or not. He was busy eating his own food, enjoying his dinner. And say, brother, are you satisfied? Alhamdulillah, satisfied. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And drinks the water as well. That night, Imam Ali and Fatima Zahra, both of them slept hungry. They didn't have absolutely no dinner. The following morning, when the Imam goes to the mosque praying behind the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet looks at him and says, Ya Ali, what have you done last night? The Imam mentions, Ya Rasulallah, you sent me the gift. That was the gift. You know, this is the story. The Prophet says that because this ayah was revealed, Surah Al-Hash, ayah number 9, that we just recited it. وَيُؤْثَرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They preferred someone over themselves, even though they needed it. And whoever, you know, looks after his stinginess will be prosperous. That's what's about this ayah. That I told you that Allama Al-Amini says that 34 different historians and narrators have mentioned it about Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali alayhi salam, later on, during the time that Omar had made a council, that those six people decide who will be the next Khalifa, he stood up and said that anyone can claim that this ayah was about him other than me. They all accepted. They said, yeah, no, Ya Ali, we know that that was about you. No one other than you really had sacrificed for that ayah to be revealed about him. Now that I mentioned the story of the vow, remember that part of the story, I finished that one as well. In another occasion, they had made a vow for the recovery of their sons, and the sons were recovered. Now it's the time to fulfill their vow and their nadr. The first day, they want to break their fast, and the food was not like now that, mashallah, sufra lubnaniya, sufra iraqiya, very generous table. No, just loaf of bread, simple loaves of bread. They were just about to break their fast. Someone is knocking on the door. Who is it? يُطْعَمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينَ. He says, I'm poor. I'm desperately poor and I've got a big family. They gave him a loaf of bread. Shunna this. I've got a big family, Ya Ali. And they said, all right. They gave all the loaves of bread. And in those days, they had to make the bread. It was very tough. All the loaves of bread, the brother is enough. Okay, khair, inshallah. and took them home. The narration say that Fatima Zahra, Imam Ali, Fadhi, and even Hassan and Hussein, they broke their fast only with water. Simple. The second day they are fasting. They are making bread or something else. The second day, يُطْعَمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا. This time an orphan turns up. And he says, Ya Ali, my mother is a widow. We've got family and we are starving. And they say that this is the house of generous people. Is there anything to give us? Please, 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 pleading to Imam Ali. Again, all the food went for that family. And they broke the fast with water. Easier said than done. The third day, they are fasting to fulfill their vow. And at the time that they are breaking their fast, this time a captive comes or a slave comes and says that we are a group of people that we are really hungry, and they send us, they told me that this is the house that you won't go back empty-handed. Ya Allah, however, this is, again, they gave all they had. The next day, the Prophet comes to visit Hassan and Hussein, who were sick, looks at his grandsons, their faces had gone pale. The face of Fatima al-Zahra, 3 days even Fatima al-Zahra is not eaten anything. Her face has gone pale. The Prophet was so sympathetic and said, Habibti, Binti, what aini, what happened to you? And they mentioned the story upon that this ayah in Surah Al-Ayat in Surah Al-Dahr, Surah Al-Insan was revealed. Part of it is this, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. So much they gave all. The beauty of it is that they say, we gave it all for the sake of God. See, Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he was in the state of bowing and doing ruku in the masjid, doing a nafile, and a beggar comes, a poor person, and the Imam is pointing and he takes his ring. That ring wasn't expensive, but that ring was all what he had. Some brothers, some sisters are waiting to become billionaire, millionaire, and then donate for the mosque, for example, or for an Islamic cause. I tell you, that will never happen. Check your generosity from where you have few crowns, for example, few dollars. It starts from there. If you're waiting until you become a millionaire in Copenhagen and then you give, believe me, those millionaires, they also won't give. Because the bigger your business becomes, the more expenses you create for yourself and the less is possible for you. I've met people that are definitely billionaire. How many showrooms, how many shops, how many factories, how many estate they have, yet he hasn't been to Hajj. And when I tell him that, brother, how come you haven't gone to Hajj? Sheikh, if we have a debt, do we still have to go to Hajj? You've got a debt. That's a negative gear. Come on, my son is an accountant. I know what's going on here in the West. I know this is the business of negative gear. You always put yourself in debt for your tax purposes. Are you in debt that you cannot afford to go to Hajj? You go all around the world, but you cannot go to Hajj? This is the problem. So generosity begins from when we have a little bit of money. A portion of it, give it for the sake of God. And we develop that habit, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I mentioned about Hatim, let me mention this one, and now they tell you the bigger sacrifice of Ahlul Bayt and their biggest sacrifice. Hatim, remember I told that he died at the time of Jahiliyyah, a very generous Arab. His son, his name is Adi. He was one of the disciples of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and two of his sons were killed in the Battle of Safin. This story is after the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Years after the martyrdom of Imam Ali, this father of Shaheed, two Shaheed, goes to Muawiyah in Damascus. Happens to go to Damascus and Muawiyah summons him. Then after a bit of conversation, Muawiyah turns around. He wants to just be spiteful. He says, Ya Adi, Ali wasn't fair to you, hey, was he? He said, what do you mean Ali ibn Abi Talib wasn't fair to me? He said, because he let your two sons be killed in the battle and spared his sons. Adi turns and says, on the contrary, I haven't been fair to my Mawla, to my master Ali ibn Abi Talib, that Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amirul Mumineen, has been martyred and I'm still alive. I wish my life was spared for him. He sacrificed his life for us. You look at the story of the lives of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, all of them, ma minna illa masmumun o maqtulun, masmumun bisam o maqtulun bisayf. All the Imams of Ahlul Bayt have been killed. One may ask this question, why? Not only Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hassan, Imam Baqir, Imam Sadr, why? Because they sacrificed their lives so far as they were alive, and also they ended up being a martyr for the sake of Islam, for the tree of Islam to grow. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, why is it that I want to follow the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? You show me another role model in early time of Islam whose knowledge, whose dedication to Islam, whose sacrifice for the sake of Islam, for the revival of Islam, is even close to them, close to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Who do we have among the companions or close to the Prophet who has sacrificed even his infant child? All what he had. Really, Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala gave all what he had for the sake of revival of Islam. لِيَسْتَنْقِذَ عِبَادَكَ مِنَ الْجَهَالَةِ وَحَيْرَةِ الضَّلَالَةِ To wake up the Muslim community. He wanted to give them such a strong jump start for the community to wake up. And they did. Soon the Umayyad dynasty collapsed after that. All right. So these are the role models that we have. They have sacrificed their wealth. They have sacrificed their health. They have sacrificed their lives, all for the sake of Islam. Therefore, these people deserve to be followed, and nobody else. Definitely nobody else. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And tonight, again, I have an example of definitely one of the biggest role models in Karbala. Tonight is a very special night, brothers and sisters. The night that is dedicated, traditionally we're dedicated. Some people, they had made it last night or tonight, doesn't make a difference. Remember, make no mistake, all the martyrs of Karbala have been martyred and killed on the day of Ashura, not in the previous days of Muharram. But why is it that every night we dedicate to one of them so that we relate to them and we commemorate them? Because it's not enough time on the day of Ashura to mention the maqtal of all of them. Tonight, traditionally, for some, is dedicated to Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Who's Abul Fadl al-Abbas? Abul Fadl al-Abbas, that really, if somebody wants to share tears with a hero, would be Abul Fadl al-Abbas. أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ أَنْ يُبْكَى عَلَيْهِ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ أَنْ يُبْكَى عَلَيْهِ فَتَنْ أَبْكَى الْحُسَيْنَ بِكَرْبَلَى. Hardly Imam Hussein alayhi salam cried in Karbala after the martyrdom of anyone. It is not mentioned that he cried after the martyrdom of his son Ali al-Akbar, for example. But when it comes to Abul Fadl al-Abbas, as I will inshallah narrate it to you, they have written that Imam Hussein alayhi salam burst into tears. Therefore, أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ أَنْ يُبْكَى عَلَيْهِ, the best person that deserves to be cried for tonight is Fatan, a hero that أَبْكَى الْحُسَيْنَ بِكَرْبَلَى. He made Imam Hussein alayhi salam cry in his martyrdom. السلام على العباس بن أمير المؤمنين المواسي لأخيه الحسين بنفسه. This المواسي لأخيه الحسين بنفسه, it means he sacrificed. He sacrificed himself before his brother. Al-Fadilah becomes more explicit here. He has really sacrificed his life for the sake of his brother, for the cause of the brother. Abul Fadl Abbas definitely is among those who could spare his life and leave Karbala without being hurt at all, let alone killed. Why? Because Shamir ibn Dhul-Jushan al-La'in had a relation, maternal relation with Abul Fadl al-Abbas. The day before Ashura, he sends him an amnesty. And he says that, Anta fi aman, because of the blood relation that is between us, you come over here. You don't stay on the side of Hussein, you will be otherwise killed. Yet, on the night of Ashura, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam mentioned what will happen to everybody tomorrow and whether you wish to leave or not, the very first person who stood on his feet and presented and expressed his loyalty was Abul Fadl al-Abbas. بَدَأَهُمْ بِهَذَا الْقُولِ الْأَبَّاسُ بْنُ عَلِي. The very first person who offered his sacrifice and his loyalty was Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Now let's go to Karbala on the day of Ashura. As I inshallah narrated, you try to visualize the scene and be also conscious of your needs. Tonight is the night of Bab al-Hawa'ij ila Allah. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in honor and respect of one of his best servants, one of his best slaves, that martyrs on the day of judgment will really wish that they had the companionship and the status of Abul Fadl al-Abbas in paradise. On the day of Ashura, towards the end of the day, Bani Hashim have been martyred, companions have been martyred. It was only Abbas and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Both of these heroes are fighting on two sides, two wings of the battle, sending signals to each other, letting each other know that I'm still alive, brother. At the same time, both they can hear the painful cry of the kids. Let me take you to one of the tents. Imagine the situation. Already there has been 2-3 days that there is no water available in the tents of the ashab of Imam Hussein, the family of Imam Hussein, the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now there is a tent that they used to collect and keep all the water skins or water bags. Water bags in those days made of the skin of the goats, they used to keep them there. No longer there is any drop of water in any of the water bags. There is absolutely no more water. But because the water bags were kept in that tent, you imagine the floor of the tent, the sand on the floor was still a little, had a little bit of moisture. Imam Hussein alayhi salam gets closer to his brother, Ya Abu al-Fadl, you are my hero, you are the feta. The painful cry of children is really distracting us. See if there is any chance that you can get them some water. That's the command of my master. Abu al-Fadl Abbas is running his horse to go and grab some of these water bags. Now you imagine the scene that Abu al-Fadl is watching. He looks at his nephews and nieces. We are talking about 20 or so children. All thirsty. Really, they are so thirsty that they had pulled up their shirt, put in their chest on the moisture of the floor of the sand of the tent, hoping that they can quench their thirst a little bit. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. As soon as they saw Uncle Abbas, you could see a sparks of light in their eyes. They happily looked at each other, knew who Abbas was. They say, boys, girls, Uncle Abbas is going to get us water. Just be patient. A few more minutes, Uncle Abbas is going to get us water. And they were handing over the water bags to Uncle Abbas. Uncle, get mine as well. Uncle, get more. Abu al-Fadl Abbas collected as many as he could. Ya Allah, Abu al-Fadl has only one wish. His wish is just to get to the water and fill up the water bags and bring it for the children. They have mentioned that 6 times he tries to get to the water and they were stopping him. They couldn't let him go through until eventually he managed to reach the water of Euphrates. And with his horse, he's stepping into the water. Long story short, he filled up all the bags of water. And now he's heading back towards the tents. He looked and he saw, Ya Allah, more than 10,000 shooters with all arrows targeting and waiting for him. Therefore, he changed his direction and he's going through the palm trees, so that he can just go from behind. But the enemy just scattered among the palm trees and they were attacking him left and right. Abu al-Fadl is riding his horse until all of a sudden one of the enemy from behind the tree, he just severed his right arm. Abu al-Fadl so quickly, he just grabs all the bags of water with his left arm. Did not last long until they also severed his left arm. He continues holding with his teeth and riding his horse, bending on the horse and riding fast towards the destination. Ya Allah. But it was only when the arrow sat on his eye that Abu al-Fadl could not see anymore. He could not sit on his horse anymore. The mountain of sacrifice, the mountain of loyalty, he collapsed on the ground and painfully cried, Ya Akha, Adrak Akha, Ya Hussein, come to my help. Hussein, come and get the bags of water for the children. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Allah Malla Ujurake, Ya Sahib al-Zaman. Let me continue a bit more tonight. Tonight is the night of crying for Abu al-Fadl Abbas. Imam Hussein comes to rescue his brother. Ya Allah, but which brother? As soon as he is looking at the brother, a brother that arrows are sitting on his eyes, both eyes are bleeding, his arms are severed, the body is just the target of all the arrows, Abul Fadl Abbas is bleeding from all his limbs around. The scene was so painful. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this is where they have mentioned that Fabaka Bukan Shadida, looking at the body of his brother Abbas, his hero, he burst into tears and says, Al-an inkasara dhahri wa qallat hilati, ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin wa sa'alamu al-lazina zalamu أي منقلب ينقلبون أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ بِجَاهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَبِحُرْمَةِ الْفَاتِحَةِ مَعَ الصَّلَوَاتِ.